God bless them. Thank you, Mara and Jen. Mara is a senior now. She's been in my Sunday school class for 4 years, and she'll be graduating out. I always hate that, but God bless her. She is. She believes what she sings, and I'm thankful for that. Jen believes what she plays. Mara's at South Fork High, a testimony there. Started the Bible school. I just love our young people and their testimony of faith. Acts 16, I want you to look again. And I want you to notice this familiar text in Acts 16 and notice how Luke points to certain openings and closings, if you will, for Paul and Silas. For example, verse 4, "And as they went through the cities and delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which are at Jerusalem, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." Well, that sounds like some open doors, right? And some fruitful ones at that. But then, lo and behold, there's verse 6. "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Well, so much for open doors now. That's clearly a closed door, but not nearly as closed as the next one. Verse 7. "After they were come to Mysia, they essayed," that means they tried or attempted, "to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit," that's Holy Spirit, "suffered or allowed them not." Now, folks, the reason we say this door, this one in verse 7, is even more closed is that Bithynia was Paul's hometown. Tarsus was there. His family was there. Multitudes of his fellow Jews he had a burden for were all there, so that Paul essayed, the Bible says. He really tried to take the gospel to that place, and he couldn't. Which brings us then to verse 14. It says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, so that she attended unto the things which are spoken of Paul." Now note that, the same God who sometimes closes doors, also opens doors, including hearts. And sure enough, beloved, no sooner was the door to Lydia and Macedonia sprung wide open than it was also almost immediately closed. Verse 23. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them," the same Paul, same Silas, "they cast him into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Well, so much for the open door, folks. I mean, this is cast into the inner dungeon, in stocks, guarded 24/7. That's a door that's slammed shut until verse 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately," here it is, "all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed." Well, Paul's back in business. But I have to tell you, beloved, all of this opening and closing of doors reminds me of a certain red-letter day right here in the month of May. Now, obviously, today is Mother's Day. That is the biggest day of all, far as we're concerned, in May. But a few days ago, it was Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th, commemorating the Battle of Puebla in 1862. Last Sunday was May the 4th, be with you. May the 1st is May Day. For all you socialists in this room, May the 8th is VE Day, Victory in Europe. Tomorrow, May the 12th, is International Nurses Day. Think about that. So tomorrow, if you see a nurse, run. She has a needle or some applesauce or something. I don't know. Kidding. The last Monday in May, of course, is Memorial Day, and so it goes. But the red letter day that I'm thinking about is none of those. The red letter day I'm thinking about this morning is May the 18th, 5 years ago, next Sunday. Because May the 18th, 2020 was when businesses and restaurants and public parks were declared open after massive lockdowns over COVID. It was called Full Phase One by our governor. And oh yeah, I'm telling you, I remember it. It was a great day on May the 18th, and for a lot of reasons, including the fact that when so many doors were closed literally for such a long time in our town, in our city, in our state, and our nation, all through the world, Christians and professing Christians were tried and tested in very profound ways. I'm telling you, for me, never in my lifetime, never in our lifetimes was there anything in the world like the pandemic of the novel coronavirus where COVID-19 exposed. It exposed a lot of idols in people's lives, and it led others to set some idols up. And thankfully, it caused others to tear idols down. And not surprisingly, it was God who took those lockdowns. It was God who took all of the fears and all of the doubts. He took all of the closings in the world, if you will, and he turned them into some of the greatest openings ever. And you know, beloved, there's nothing wrong with going through trials. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. There's nothing wrong with going through a period such as we did during COVID. But what is wrong is going through all of that and not learning the lessons that God has for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Please speak to our hearts. Just for the next few moments, Lord, please, may all distractions, anything between us and you, be cast aside. And let us hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Please, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There are three things I want us to consider this morning in light of the five-year anniversary of our very own statewide opening and the reminder of what God did and still wants to do for many people in this room right now. For the next few moments, we're going to just take a little trip down memory lane, not for nostalgia's sake, but for our own spirit as people of God. For the past couple of weeks, I've been thinking in my own mind all the things that God miraculously opened, that God himself opened during the lockdowns and all the closings. I mean, for some people, minds were opened. Bibles were opened for the first time for some. Arms were opened. Hands were opened. There were a lot of things that God opened when the world was closed. But this morning, I want to just especially remember three. Three things as a pastor and as a fellow believer that God especially worked with my heart. Three things that God opened then and that he wants to open now. The first one you may remember or you'll recall is that, number one, hearts were opened. I want you to notice again, verse 14, it says, there was a woman named Lydia whose heart. Now think about the power of that. Whose heart, the Bible says, the Lord opened. And of course, because her heart was opened, verse 15 says what? She opened her house. She was so grateful for the grace of God, and not just her. Look at Paul and Silas after that they were tossed into jail with their bleeding backs. Verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and what? They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Wait a minute, heard them? Oh, yeah. You see, folks, God opens hearts, and God opens mouths. Not mouths for the purpose of whining and complaining and murmuring and moaning and blaming, but for the glorious purpose of singing and praying and praising him. I remember after our first week of drive-in services, we decided that we would meet outside. We never missed a single Sunday. But we sat outside, people sat in their cars, and we preached from the back of a truck to begin with, and we sang hymns, and all of it, of course, again, outdoors. We had those huge speakers over there, and at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, our neighbors got a little bit annoyed. One of them, right over here on this side, actually asked us, came over and asked if we could just turn the speaker a little bit away from him, from his house, because we were giving him Sunday morning wake-up calls. So we decided it would be a good idea to just write all of our neighbors a goodwill letter. And I did. I sat down, I wrote a letter, and I expressed our apologies. I explained our ministry. I promised to keep the services brief. And then we had all of these letters hand-delivered with these gift baskets. And they were nice gift baskets. They had testaments and tracts and antibacterial soap and wipes and cookies and nuts and the most precious commodity of all, one roll of toilet paper. Amen. They loved us after this. And I remember one of our neighbors who lived right over here across from my office. He came over and he said, "Pastor Blaylock, he doesn't come to church here. Never did. He said, I don't mind the music at all. It wakes me up. But we have been so discouraged and so depressed for so many weeks. Just hearing the singing over there gives us some hope." And you know, there was a lot of that. You remember how strangers in the area would ride their bikes and they would come over here and they would throw their bikes down and sit in the grass and just listen and then hop back on their bikes and take off? Hearts were opened. People got saved. In fact, one of my favorite days ever was when people who had been waiting and waiting because we weren't in this building, they were able to be baptized the first Sunday they could after the lockdowns. Sierra was one of them. 5 years ago, she was single. Today, Mother's Day, she has two girls, married, serving the Lord. A lot of hearts, a lot of tongues were opened that year. And in part, because people were thankful. People recognized how good God had been and was being in the midst of those tough days, thankful for everyday things that they had been taking for granted. You know, it shouldn't be this way, but sometimes we're not grateful for something until it's taken away. Even simple common things, fully stocked shelves in the grocery store, going to your favorite restaurant, going to the gym or the coffee shop, visiting family members, walking in the park, being able to breathe easily. People have asked me recently, "Pastor, how'd you hurt your hand?" And of course, I reluctantly tell them that last Tuesday, I was out in the highways and the byways passing out tracts and bread to lots of widows and orphans. And suddenly, in my flank, a Florida Panther came and tried to take one of those young orphan boys. And I said, "Not on my watch." So still passing out tracts with my right hand while quoting Psalm 119, I grabbed the Panther and tossed him aside. And just the force of throwing that Panther caused me to hurt my hand. And now I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus.
"And it really happened, Pastor?"
Okay. What actually happened is I'm driving on 95 and I dropped my chapstick and it fell in the seat and I'm trying to reach for it and reach and I'm, you know how you get this close to something, it's like almost have it. So I stretched my hand as far as I could awkwardly and I tore the tendon on the back of my hand. It's almost the same story. But you know, what always happens with little minor injuries like that, a finger, a toe, a tooth, a thumb, a knee, what happens is you realize just how much you needed that thing and how much you miss it. You know, it's only one finger, but it has to be buddy wrapped. And now everything is harder and more annoying. I can't hardly open anything, turning, carrying. I can't close it. That's as far as I can go. Anything. I have Lego fingers, a Lego hand. Everything is awful. And now for 4 to 6 more weeks, maybe more than that, I can't even hold a 7-iron. What a travesty. Woe is me. But why? Seriously, why do we have to lose things before we ever realize that those things are blessings? You see, I remember that there were some hearts that God opened during COVID And that opened their mouths to praise and gratitude and thanksgiving. Some people praised God more during all of that. And interesting enough, now they seem to be the same people who are still opening their mouths in praise and thanksgiving to God. The ones who just moaned the whole time are, strangely enough, still moaning now. I have a question. Can we just be thankful this morning? Can we be grateful to God for all of his manifold blessings, even the simplest blessings that you and I will enjoy on this beautiful Lord's Day morning? Number one, hearts were open. The second thing I want you to notice is that number two, eyes were open. And by the way, this is no small thing. Look at verse 20. And it says, and he brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe. Now, let me just explain why we say our eyes were opened during the COVID lockdowns. For Paul and Silas, seeing churches, as we read earlier in the chapter, all these churches were being, quote, established in the faith and increasing in numbers even daily. And then, right after that, receiving the Macedonian call and immediately baptizing Lydia and her family. I mean, things were on fire. I mean, it might turn you into an amillennial. This was the real golden age. Until 7 days later. Because a week later, when all of the rulers and the magistrates and the businessmen in Thyatira and elsewhere, or Philippi rather, they decided that these Christians needed a beatdown. Remember the demon-possessed girl? Brother Tom mentioned those that were delivered in the Gospels. Well, Paul delivered this one right after Lydia, and delivered her not just from the devil, but from men who were taking advantage of her. Verse 18, look at it. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, not the girl, to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, this girl was their money ticket, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and unto the rulers. Now, wait a minute. Look at verse 20. And they brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly, what? Trouble our city. What? They're troubling the city? All they were doing was rescuing people. And there goes the welcome mat. And there goes the open door. And you know, for these servants of God, that had to be confusing. Or at least somewhat disconcerting, because here they are, God is blessing, people are getting saved, lives are being changed, and so now they're sitting in jail. I don't know how much time passed, but they sat there and they contemplated and they meditated and they considered, and then the Bible says specifically, Luke says, at midnight. Why do you think he put that in there? After a time of considering, it says, at midnight, their eyes are fully open and they glorify and praise God instead of wondering and question, what happened here? Look at verse 21. It says, they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe. Hold it, wait a minute. The custom of exploiting this young girl for money. Okay, so that was lawful to them. But the work of liberating and delivering this girl from oppression, that was intolerable to them. Yeah, and that's the world in which we are living and ministering. And beloved, just as Paul and Silas had eyes fully open to the truth about the world, to the truth about society and where they were taking the gospel, thank the Lord, a lot of eyes were opened fully in the midst of COVID. And by the way, let me say this. I'm not referring to the groupthink, to all of the government overreach, to the follow the science. Most of us in this room, I remember we did follow the science. But actually following science made jogging with a mask by yourself look kind of silly. I mean, you remember some of the policies. You couldn't walk on the beach. You could walk on the beach, but you couldn't sit down on a bench. Hiking trails were closed, but tattoo shops were opened. They were essential. When restaurants were reopened, you had to wear a mask into the restaurant and to your booth, and then when you ate, you pulled the mask down and you ate and pulled it back up. And don't get me started on one-way aisles in Publix, amen? It was like Pac-Man, right, going back and forth. And man, heaven forbid you go down the wrong aisle the wrong way, which I did a few times. I was so judged. And then there's plexiglass. I could reach over and touch the cashier, but somehow the virus wasn't going to go over the plexiglass. And if you went to fast food, you know, lines, you could get food in a bag and everything, but you couldn't get ketchup or mustard or salt because I don't know why. Throwaway menus, they had to be not laminated. It went on and on. You could have family members over, 10 of them at the most, not 11, and absolutely no neighbors. And I'm sure a lot of eyes were opened in our society alone to the failure of some world leaders and their instant love of this new power. But that's not the insight. That's not the discernment I'm talking about in light of our text. I am talking about millions of believers who were spiritually asleep, just going through the motions in their Christian walk and totally blind to the truth of this lost world. I'm talking about Christians in every church, including ours, who forgot that given the chance, this world would lock you away with your Bible and tell you to be quiet forever. Who forgot that we as believers are not home yet. We are pilgrims, the Bible says. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. In the world, the Bible says. But not of the world. I'll put it this way. A lot of Christians' eyes were opened in 2020 when they were told that after that first phase, they could now meet again, especially in other states. They could gather and assemble again as a church, but they couldn't sing. Remember that? That was the governor of Vermont. You are not allowed to sing when you assemble. In Idaho, a pastor was jailed for meeting outdoors because it exceeded 20 people outdoors after phase one. You say, well, yeah, but pastor, okay. The problem was, at the very same time, don't forget, you were allowed to march and protest. You could huddle together by the thousands if it was a riot and not be arrested. A lot of people realize that believers will never win a popularity contest in this world, nor should we try. Jesus didn't try. By the way, Christians' eyes were also opened to the illusion of control. I personally was blessed by this, and some people that I know very well. I'm talking about this toppled idol that if we work hard enough, and if we plan long enough, and if we make enough and save enough, if we're clever enough, and we have our five-year goals in plan and our fail-safes and our insurances and our strong will, then our lives are in our hands. Well, how'd that work out? Beloved, that was always a lie. We are never in full control of our lives. And here's the thing, Christians who think they are, just like believers that I counseled over and over again who thought that they were before that came into their life, they lived in only one of two ways, either pride or panic. Thinking that you are in control ultimately leads to either anxiety or vanity, and God doesn't bless either of those. Christians whose eyes are open, they live by the words of our Lord, not my will, but thine be done. They live in peace and assurance that only God is in control. And because he's in control, everything's all right in my Father's house. Never once, not even for a moment, through all of COVID, Not for a split second, never once was God not on his throne. Now think about this. You look at the people just in this chapter. They tried to go here and they couldn't. He essayed to go there. Remember, this is the Apostle Paul, one of the most determined men in human history. You couldn't stop that man. None of these things move me, he said about his beatings and shipwrecks and pains and sorrows. He tried to go to Bethany. He couldn't do that. Now he's thrown into jail. That could have been frustrating. And yeah, they could have been frustrated out of their minds. Except Paul already knew who was truly leading his life. Kind of reminds me of when Ricky was a toddler. Sometimes I'll let him sit on my lap and take the wheel in our little Honda on those East Tennessee roads. And he'd sit there and he'd grip really tight. And he thought he was in control. In fact, he really thought he was in control because he'd push my hand away. Like, no, push my hands off. And he'd think, hey, I got this. He never had it. I had my thumb hidden down here somewhere, and sometimes, because he was so self-assured, I'd let it go off the road a little bit, and he'd panic. Ah! You know, beloved, that's no way to live the Christian life. Thinking. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Self-assurance is an idol. Trusting, leaning not under your own understanding, trusting and leaning into the Lord. That's humility and faith. That's a victorious life. And if you've started to backslide into that because it's been 5 years now since the openings, make sure you get on your knees when you get home. Say, Lord, I am not depending on myself. Number one, hearts were open. Number two, eyes were open. And then number three, and you all know this was true who was part of this church. Number three, doors were opened. Verse 7 again, look at it, would you? And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed or tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed or asked him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, folks, we've noted this before, but if you have a Bible map, and you go through the missionary journeys of Paul, and you go to verse 7 in those missionary journeys, you'll notice when they have the little line of where he went, the line goes like this, and then it goes straight down. It's one big, great U-turn. And the U-turn in south, in Troas, where he's there, like, now what? I didn't get to go where I wanted to go, where my burden was. And from there, he got a call, and he went west. Not east, where he was headed. The Bible says, west of Macedonia. You say, wow, Pastor, what a terrible closed door up there. Oh, no, no, what a glorious open door over here. What an opportunity now in the west. You do realize that historically, that big U-turn is the reason why you and I are saved today. The gospel came west to Europe and America. And yes, God used COVID in the same way. Because so many doors, so many U-turns in people's lives, it caused so many doors to be opened to minister, to preach the gospel that were previously closed. By the way, verse 14 says Lydia was, quote, from Thyatira, right? She was doing business. She was living in Philippi. But her hometown, note this, was in the very region of Bithynia that Paul did not go to. That seems closed off, except many years later, the Lord Jesus writes a letter. He writes a letter to a church, and it's to the church of Thyatira. Paul didn't go there. Maybe it was Lydia and her family. One thing is for sure, God is in the business of opening doors of opportunity and blessing, even in the midst of closures and the greatest closure of an unexpected pandemic. I remember when Hurricane Milton, Helene and Ian, devastated Cape Coral. And it did. And it put them on their knees for a while. But I also remember this brother telling me about these open doors, these unusual once-in-a-lifetime opportunities to get the gospel to this person or that person. You know, Paul was imprisoned unlawfully. And we would look at that and say, their backs are bleeding. How horrible, yes. But you do realize that the Philippian jailer would have never met Paul. Therefore, in fact, look at these verses. Just think about this for one moment. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison awake out of his sleep. Verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, do thyself no harm. Verse 29, he called for a light and sprang in. Verse 30, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know, I got saved by reading a tract when I was in middle school, and the title was, what must I do to be saved? I would have never had that tract with that title. We have never heard of this verse. Verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. None of that would be in the Bible had Paul not been thrown into jail. For God, a closed door here just means an open door over there. And you know what? Here's glorious. When God opens a door, say, well, COVID lasted for almost 2 years, Pastor. When God opens a door, and if that door is open for even a moment, the result of that open door is eternal things, eternal glories, not two-year things or one-year closed doors. A couple days ago, my mom said to me, Jimmy, don't get me anything for Mother's Day. I don't need anything, no flowers. She already had some flowers. She did. I have plenty, no money. Jimmy, don't get me anything for Mother's Day. So I got her a card. And then I went to my checkbook, and I wrote out a check. Patricia A. Blaylock. I made it out for $50 million. I don't know what you got your mom's, but 50 mil. I wrote it out, and I put it in her card, and I left it there this morning. I don't know if she's seen it yet. But if she tries to deposit it, we're both in trouble. But I was thinking to myself, you know, maybe at first glance, when she just opens a card and sees this check, for half of a second, she's like, oh, 50, I'm 89, how am I going to spend this? I mean, it would be, mom's super smart, it's going to be a tiny fraction of a second, if at all. This is the difference between things like COVID and hurricanes and cancer and strokes, financial loss. All of those things are like little tiny milliseconds compared, Paul even says, compared to the eternal weight of glory behind all of the open doors of God's grace. For me, COVID 2020, the opening, all of that, is starting to feel like a blur. 5 years ago, it could be 50, just starting to like already fade into in my mind. But the eternal things that came out of it are exactly that. They are forever. That perspective that when God opens a door, it's open to eternal things, makes all the closed doors seem not so bad. For some in this room, this verse is you. Verse 30, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And God's people said,